You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Redemption Community Church. My name is Jeff Leek, and I'm the lead pastor at Allison Park Church, which is one church in six locations in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I'm going to speak to you today, but I just first want to remind you of who I am. So I've been friends with your pastor and his wife, Jeremy and Amy, for a long time. We had the privilege of being one of the sponsor churches when your church got started. And we have been journeying together with you this whole time. I also lead an organization called Reach Northeast. Now, you might be familiar with this because every Christmas you give an offering to help a new church get started. And so we have been a part of helping over 100 churches get started in the northeast part of the United States, which is an amazing thing. And we're partners together in that. And so I just want to say thank you for your investment in the kingdom of God and in the northeast part of the United States. And I have the privilege of jumping into your series. So this series you've been in is called God, I Look to You. And so this is all about looking to God in the midst of crisis, and we're all walking through this crazy time. And so now we're going to get into the message today. So what we want to talk about today is the topic of stress. Now, if you're like me, when COVID-19 hit in the middle of March, there was a range of emotions that I've been through. I would say early on, it was the emotions of fear and anxiety. I was dealing with this. I knew my people were dealing with this. What does this mean? What's going to happen? You know, are people going to get sick? How much is going to happen when people, you know, do get sick? And I know there in New York, you guys have really been hit hard, probably harder than we have in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But the first emotion was fear and anxiety. I think then after a few weeks of things, my emotions shifted and I began to feel uncertainty. I started to wonder, when will this ever end? How will it end? What's going to happen next? What will happen to the economy? What will happen for people's jobs? How long is this going to last? All kinds of questions that come along with this. And then I think after that came this feeling, and I think maybe you might feel this too, a little bit of frustration, like this is going on way too long. And, you know, I'm tired of this. And when are they going to let us out? And, you know, will this ever end? And some people's frustration has boiled over to anger, and others still dealing with fear. But whatever the range of emotions that you're facing, there might be additional things that add to that. You know, homeschooling kids, or maybe the loss of job, or maybe financial pressure, or maybe an old conflict that has arisen. All of this adds up to this word that we could call stress. So what do we do when we're stressed out? Now, this is not just a COVID-19 topic. This is a topic for all times, because stress is just very common in our busy world with all kinds of things happening with pressures in life. And so we're going to talk about what to do with stress, where it comes from, how to overcome it, how to reduce it in our life, and especially how we look to God in the midst of this time to be able to deal with the pressure that we face internally. Now, we're going to study together in a psalm. So there's 150 songs that were written that are a part of the Old Testament's worship experience. And we're going to go to the 127th psalm. But let me just give you context for this. It's really unique. Psalm 120 through 134 are a set of 14 psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascents. And they actually, ascent means to ascend, to go up to the next level. And so they would sing these 14 psalms as a liturgy as they began to look towards the temple in worship. Now, a little background. The topography in Jerusalem is that the temple is at the highest place in the city. And Jerusalem's very mountainous, okay? It's hilly. And so they would come from the base of the hill at a place that was called the Pool of Siloam. You might know that from New Testament, where Jesus did some healing miracles. And they would walk 7.5 football field length up a long set of steps until they finally would get to the temple courts where they would begin to worship. And as they were on their way up to worship, as they were on their way up to meet with God, as they were looking toward God, they were singing these 14 songs in order. And, you know, Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? That's one of the psalms in the Psalms of Ascents. Psalm 122, you might relate to this, starts like this. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I really relate to that one. Can you imagine? Won't it be good when we can finally get back to normal? We can meet with God and we can meet in our churches and we can do the things we did before. Well, Psalm 127 deals with another issue. Okay, every issue in these 14 Psalms deals with something that is a stopper in our spiritual life. I could say like this. I actually did a series back in the fall at Allison Park Church called Floors and Ceilings. And we said some things in our life are like a ceiling for us. We go to a certain level and we keep bumping our head against the ceiling. And until we learn to overcome that thing, we'll always be stopped by that. But if we can learn to deal with that thing and overcome it, then we'll rise to a place where what used to be a ceiling in our life has now become a floor. And so God is in the business of taking us to another level. I just want to tell you today, God's wanting you to go to a whole new level in your life, even through all of this crisis, even through all of this pressure, even in times of discouragement, even in times of pain and loss. God is able to take the things that are happening to us and flip them around and use them and bring something redeeming out of it. And so the stuff that's become a ceiling in your life can become a floor if you look to God and you let Him deal with the things that are heavy on your life. So, stress can be like a ceiling. You know, if you get so stressed out that you lose your peace, if you get so stressed out that you become so overcome in worry that it just ties you up in knots, if stress drives you away from God and brings you into a place where you just get so frustrated, it's hard to be in His presence. If stress makes you lash out in anger or stress makes you want to drink or do something to escape reality, that can become like a ceiling in your life if you don't know how to process it properly. And so Psalm 127 talks about this. Here's what it says. And before we get into this, let me tell you that the author of this particular psalm is a guy named Solomon. You might know him from the Old Testament as David's son. And here's what he writes in Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Now keep that verse up there for us. But let me just tell you, one of the big assignments that Solomon had in his life was to build the temple. Actually, his dad had designed it, you know, under the Holy Spirit's guidance and raised the money for it. And now Solomon's job was to build it. I mean, imagine what a project to be in charge of. And then he says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. As the king in Israel, the king in Jerusalem, it was Solomon's responsibility to protect the people of God, the people in that city. So two huge responsibilities weighing on Solomon's shoulders. And he reflects on this now. And he says, you know, no matter how hard I work, unless God's involved to help complete the things that are before me to do, I'm not going to be able to get it all done. Because no matter how hard I work, it's never quite enough. There are some things that I work and work and work and work for, and I always end up short because my human effort, ingenuity, strength, skill is just not enough to get some things accomplished. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, the builders labor in vain. And then unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards or the watchmen stand guard in vain. Not only is there a limit to my work, there's actually a limit to my worry. If I stand on the city wall and I worry and I watch and I make sure, you know, I'm worried about my kids, I'm worried about my finances, I'm worried about my job situation, I'm worried about the condition in the world, I can stay up late and I can worry, but there's a limit to what my worry can do. Actually, worry is not very helpful at all, honestly. Jesus said, who by worry can add even 1 hour to your life? You know, I heard somebody say worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. It expends a lot of energy, but it doesn't get you anywhere, right? So we can work, and we can worry, but there's a limit to our work and there's a limit to our worry to what either one can do for us. And then the next part of this verse, Psalm 127 says, in vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He, God, grants sleep to those that He loves. You know, so sometimes we stay up late and we're analyzing and we're thinking it through and we're strategizing and how's this going to happen? And we get up early because we want to get a start on the day and we're trying to make a plan. And I'll just tell you, there's a limit to what your work can do. There's a limit to what your worry can do. And there's also a limit to what your human wisdom can do. You know, sometimes you can strategize and analyze until it paralyzes you completely in stress because some things are beyond your ability to figure out. And I know you You say, why do you have this guy from Pittsburgh giving us all this bad news? You're telling me I can't work enough, I can't worry enough, I don't have enough wisdom to be able to make certain things happen. But we all know this is true, right? Some things are just beyond our capacity. Unless the Lord builds the house, you know, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you're staying up early, staying up late and getting up early. And then it says, but God grants rest. This is the key. The Lord grants sleep or rest to those he loves. God can give you an inner rest if you trust in him. Can you see the worshipers? They're going up towards the temple courts and they're singing this and they're saying, God, there's so much going on in our life right now. As we meet with you today, as we look to you today, we want you to give us rest in our souls. You know, we want to be able to know that you're going to make it all right. Okay, so here's, I guess, the idea. Let me just talk about where stress comes from and how to deal with it. Here's the main idea. Go ahead and put that on the screen. My stress increases when I attempt to control the uncontrollables. A lot of things are just out of control. It feels like our world's out of control. It feels like the economy's out of control. It feels like this whole thing with the COVID crisis is out of control. The news changes every day and what we should do and not do changes all the time. And there's projections that we hear and so much going on. And then our family at times feels out of control. And sometimes we have uncontrollable issues in our life that we're dealing with. And when we are trying to get our arms around and control what we can't control, that's where stress comes from. And if you like control, and I'm somebody who does, boy, whenever you're facing things that are beyond the ability for you to get your arms around, it is frustrating. Stress increases when I try to control the uncontrollable. But here's the follow-up to that, or the corollary to that, and that's this. My strength returns when I change what I can. So we're not just saying, gonna give up. I still keep doing what I can do. And then I trust God with the rest. There's a time when you've worried enough, when you've worked enough, when your wisdom has been enough, and all you can do then, you've reached the end of what you can accomplish. And so you have to say, God, I trust you. I trust you with my family. I trust you with this situation. I trust you with this season. And God, I believe that you're able to grant rest because you love me and you care for me. And you're going to bring me through this, right? So stress is reduced whenever we learn to trust God with the things beyond our control. Now, let's dive a little deeper on this. Three questions diagnostically we have to ask. So if you're going to come away from this message today with something actionable, first thing you got to ask is this. So what am I responsible for? Because I have to do what I can and then trust God to do the rest. So what am I responsible for? And you know, when I ask this question, I really think about it. It's actually in some ways disheartening to know that there's so much that I can't control, and so little that's actually under my control. You know, one of the things that I do a lot, I fly places to be able to help church planting and do missions projects, etc. And I'm not a fan of flying, honestly. I don't like two things. I don't like being up high, and I don't like feeling out of control. And so, you know, you get up into the airplane and the turbulence starts to hit. And I know my mind tells me everything's fine, that these are just, it's just thicker air and bumps that we're hitting. But for me, I just feel unsettled by it, honestly, because I'm not flying the plane and I can't control that situation. So I like to sit by the window because somehow I like to know what's going on. If we're in a big cloud, I like to be able to know that. I like to be able to look down and see where the ground is. I find that if I worry during that, I almost feel like I'm helping the pilot out to be able to get safely to the destination. Me sitting by the window comforts me a little bit, but I know that it's just an illusion of control. It actually isn't control at all. I'm just up in the air and it's up to the pilot to get us safely there. Sometimes we have the illusion of control. We're trying to help God out. We're trying to manage the situations. We're trying to worry our way through. But honestly, I mean, what can we really do in some circumstances that are beyond our control? Okay, there are some things we are responsible for. Here's what I've learned. I am responsible for my own thoughts. I don't have to let my mind run away with me. I don't have to let my mind think thoughts that are filled with doubt or hate or frustration. I can actually take captive my thoughts and I can think on the things that are true, the things that God has promised to me. I can think on the truths of who he is and how much he cares for me. Sometimes when I'm on that airplane, I like to think of two big angels flying on each side. I like to think about the fact that my life, you know, and me getting safely to my destination isn't really dependent even on that pilot and the ability of him to get the plane to a safe place. It's really dependent on my God who has a purpose for my life. And so I just think like this, nothing and no one can stop God's purpose for my life. And so no one's going to take me out before it's time, and I can put my trust in God. This is my thoughts. I can control my thoughts. Second, I can control my attitude. I can choose the attitude and perspective that I have today. That's not an easy thing to do, but I can choose to align myself with the joy of the Holy Spirit and the peace of God, and I can have the right attitude. I can also choose my words. I can speak life into my environment, or I can speak death. I can speak hope, or I can speak unbelief. I can talk faith and life. There's so many things that I can say. So my tongue, and actually the Bible says that your tongue actually steers your life. James says it's like a rudder on a ship, or it's like the reins on a horse. If you speak, you're actually aiming your life in the right direction. So I'm actually responsible for my actions, my choices. I can do what I can do. And if I do the right thing that's before me, I'm actually aligning myself with God. I'm working towards the objectives that he has for me. And so first I got to do what's responsible, my responsibility, what's before me to do. But here's the second question, and that's this. What is God or someone else responsible for? So when I reach the limit of what I'm able to do, I've got to step back and say, okay, well, what is it up to God to do? Well, God is the one that has to build the house, he said. So if God's going to build my family, it's really up to God to do that. Whatever I'm trying to build is really, it's really up to God to complete that work. What I'm watching over, what's in my purview, if I'm a business owner or I lead a family or whatever it is that I'm overseeing, you know, I'm watching over and I'm doing my best, but if I belong to God, then my problems belong to him too. And ultimately, what I'm trying to build, it's his responsibility to complete. And what I'm trying to watch over, it's his responsibility to protect. And that's so good to know that I'm not alone, that I can trust my life to him because he's responsible to carry me through. But not only do I need to recognize what God is responsible for, but I need to sometimes realize that other people are responsible too. Have you ever been in a situation where you've tried, maybe you have somebody in your life and you so want what's best for them. You so want to see them come to their senses on something or change their attitude about something. Or maybe you love somebody who's addicted to something and you so want them to be free. You so would like to see them set free from whatever it is that's binding them up or set free from anger or come back to a place where they recognize Jesus loves them and give their lives to Christ. And you want this relationship to work. You want this marriage to work. You want this son or daughter to make good decisions and come back to him. And sometimes you can work so hard that you try to do for them what only they can do. And when you begin to take on responsibility for what somebody else is supposed to do, and you start to carry that on yourself, you get stressed out because you can't control their decisions, their will, their direction. Oh, is that frustrating? You know, whenever you try to do for somebody else what is their responsibility to do, there's a word we use for that, and it's this word we call enablement. You start to try to do for somebody what they're really supposed to do for themselves, and you put yourself in a position where you're carrying stress that God never intended for you to carry because these are things that you really can't do anything about other than to turn to God and say, God, you got to do something in their life. So some stress comes because we're just out of our lane. We're trying to do what only God can do, or we're trying to do what someone else is supposed to do. And sometimes we got to step back and we got to say, okay, that's not up to me. I have to now look to God and trust him with my life. And I got to put these people or these problems in God's hands. And then we're going to talk about a third question here, but I want to take you back into Psalm 127. Actually, Psalm 127 takes a very unusual turn here. You know, we've been talking about God building houses and watching the city and granting sleep to those he loves. And we're on this stress topic. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of this song that Solomon writes, we get this. Here's what Psalm 127 goes on to say. Children are a heritage from the Lord. And I remember reading through this and thinking, whoa, where is he coming from here? I believe this, but this seems like out of left field now. You're talking about, you know, all of these stressful situations, and then you all of a sudden shift to kids, and offspring are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. And then he says to end the chapter, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. By the way, the quiver is where the arrows were stored. And some people joke about my life. You know, my wife and I, we have 5 kids. We now have 4 grandkids. We just had most recently a grandson born into the world. And we're pumped about that. So they say, you got a full quiver right there. You know, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they attend with their opponents in the courts. So the idea now here is this. What's this shift about in the middle of this psalm on stress? You know, you say, well, children are stressed. Okay, that's true, but that's not what the point is here. The point is sometimes we can get so consumed about what's happening to us and for us that we forget that our life is more than just about the moment we're in or the problem we want to get through. There is something more at stake for your life, and that is not just what's happening to you and how you're going to get through it. It's actually what your life says to the next generation. You see, you have a legacy to leave. And here's the third thing that we'll say today, and that's this. We need to ask not only what am I responsible for and what's God or someone else responsible for, but what am I intentionally setting into motion in the next generation? You see, the problem that you're in right now has within it a purpose that you can identify and live for. And when your kids and grandkids, when the people around you, when the people that are your spiritual descendants, when the people that you're trying to influence for Christ see you live for purpose in the midst of a problem, something gets communicated to them that they carry away from this. Every mess, they say, has a message in it. Right? So there's something right now that you feel like this is a mess in my life, but if you give God the chance to work in it and you trust God with it, He can bring a message out of your mess. And that message then can be told not to your kid, just to your kids, but to the next generation. God can do miracles in the midst of whatever it is that you're facing. Do you know every season has a story that you can tell? You know, I actually think we'll look back on 2020 and we will tell the next generation, you will not believe what happened during this thing we call COVID-19. We were on lockdown. There was so much going on. It was just a trial. And then you should be able to have a story to tell. And here's how God was faithful. And here's how God answered our prayer. And here's how God supplied our needs. And we were at the end of our rope, and we had worked and we had worried and we had tried with all our wisdom to solve this problem. And we had come to the end of ourselves. And then God stepped in and He did a miracle in our life. And look, if everything in your life is under your control, then you will live a boring existence. But if you live a life that feels out of control and you trust God with the things you can't control, you allow God the chance to step into your life, and the uncontrollable circumstances of your life become a stage for Him to perform His mighty acts of power on your behalf. Look, we pray, God, do miracles in our life, but you know what a prerequisite of a miracle is? You got to have an unsolvable problem. If you're going to have a miracle, you have to have an impossibility as a prerequisite to that. And if we have impossible circumstances that we don't know what to do with, then we could be stressed out by that. But look, if you let stress become the determining factor in your life, it'll be a ceiling for you. But if you learn to take what you're stressed out about and turn it over to God, God can take the things that have been a ceiling for you and make them a floor. He can lift you up. As you look to God, as you're on your way up into worship, you got to recognize there's a God in heaven who loves you, who is big enough to bring you through this, who's able to take your mess and make it a message, your season, and bring a story out of it to transform your problem into a purpose that will help launch the next generation. And you'll be able to take those sons and daughters or spiritual descendants and put them in that bow and, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, set them into motion with something in their life of substance that comes out of the experience of a life that's tested and tried and comes out on the other side victorious. I just want to tell you today that God, He is in charge. He's in control. He cares about you. You can trust Him. And look, I think we all got to start there. This is a very personal thing. And I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey or what's happening right now in your life. But I just want to tell you that God wants to enter your world. That's why Jesus came. You see, God came in the person of Jesus and He walked amongst us and He demonstrated what God was like. And then Jesus Christ went to the cross and they nailed Him to that cross and crucified Him because He paid for my sin and yours. And they took Him down from that cross when He died and they buried Him in the ground, but He didn't stay dead. On the third day, He rose from the grave. and he's alive today. And look, you can call upon him. You can call in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be rescued or saved or restored or made whole. And it's just really wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life, you just got to open your heart to him. And you got to say, Jesus, would you come into my life? In fact, why don't you do that right now, wherever you are? Say, Jesus, come into my life. Take over. I need you to forgive me. Through your death on the cross, cleanse me. Wash my sin away. Make me right with God. And right now, I choose to trust you with my soul, with my future. I give my heart to you. And I ask you, Lord, fulfill your purpose for my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I know that if you prayed that prayer, you want to get in touch with someone from this church and you want to connect with them because they want to help you grow spiritually. But I just want to tell you again how much I love you, how proud I am to be partners with you, how excited I am to have been a part of your story, how much we love your pastor and his wife, and how we're praying that God during this season will bless you abundantly in every way. And I ask that today God would give you the ability to rise above your stress and to step into the peace and the promise that he has for your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.